All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Mary Goyer, your host, and again, another little episode or snippet of the Pay It Forward Project for Pregnant Women. I am thrilled to have today's guest talking to us about birth positions. So I've brought on my friend and colleague, Usha Avaloni. And Usha, are you there? Can you hear me on the line?
Yes, I can. Hi, Mary.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so let me just introduce you to everybody really quickly, and then we'll kind of jump in, and I'll start picking your brain. So Usha is a prenatal and postpartum yoga teacher. She kind of specializes in all things pre- and postnatal as far as, like, wellness care. So she does massage and craniosacral therapy. She's a doula, and she's a coach. She just really loves supporting and empowering women as they move through the different phases of pregnancy and birth and, you know, on into motherhood so that they can do so, you know, with greater confidence and with ease. And so we're going to specifically focus today, like I said, on the importance of birthing positions and movement through labor. And I'm really glad that we're going to be talking about this because this is one of those topics that, you know, people may not even realize that there is anything to talk about with this. You know, like there's when you see birth on a lot of television shows and media, like it's just, you know, you see somebody laying, you know, in a hospital bed, and you know, like it may not occur to you that there's any other ways to kind of go about the actual position that you're in during labor and of course during birth. So but not quite the case necessarily anyway. And so Usha I'm we can talk perhaps a little bit about that piece, the media and, you know, some of that later. But like let's just start with what do you think are some of the more important things you want to share with us about birthing positions and movement in labor?
Yeah, so I think you touched on something already, Mary, and that is that we do see that in the media, women lying on their backs a lot, and that's definitely not the best position to be in for labor. And I'm going to be talking a bit about what it means, what birthing positions are, and what are some of the movements you can do during first and second stage of labor that can really help the labor process. So there are two things I want to talk about in regards to that. And one is all the different benefits that a woman can receive if she's active and moving and doing different positions during her labor. And there have actually been studies done to show that a woman who's more active and mobile during her labor can actually reduce the length of labor. And that's because being up in an upright position and moving around can improve the frequency, the length, and the efficiency of contractions. If you're mobile, it also helps to ensure continuous oxygen supply to your baby. It helps the baby get into a more optimal position for birth, and it helps the baby to continue moving down the birth canal because you have the assistance of gravity if you're in an upright position. So all of those things are going to really help the length of the labor because you're more active, you're helping the baby, and it's just really powerful. It's also, you know, with that, it's empowering to be more active in your labor and more connected to your body, moving around in the process. So those are some of the benefits. And the other thing I wanted to mention is how important it is to prepare for what some of these positions are. So as you mentioned, that yoga is one of the many things that I like to do with women, and I've been teaching yoga for nearly 10 years, And what I hear from my prenatal yoga clients over and over again, they tell me how much practicing yoga during their pregnancy helps them in their labor. So not only is prenatal yoga great during pregnancy because it helps reduce a lot of the common aches and discomforts of your expanding body, but it also helps you be more prepared for labor. You're already more mobile, you're more flexible, and you're familiar with a lot of the different movements and positions you can get into during contractions. So preparation, I think, is really valuable. And, you know, if a woman, you know, some women aren't really into yoga, of course, so there are a lot of other things you can do. I mean, I would suggest looking for a workshop that is specific to childbirth preparation that's going to show some of the different positions you can do. For example, I teach a two-hour partner class, so we go over some of the positions and movements you can do in labor during the different stages. We'll teach breathing practices. I teach massage and acupressure techniques. Some connection and communication exercises for mama and her birth partner. And all this stuff is great for mama just to be ready, like what are some positions I can do, what are some movements I can do, but it also helps her birth partner know what to do to support mama, how to massage her or ask her what she needs or suggest different positions that she can get into, different breathing practices that she can do. So it's really great for everybody to take some class like that. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I mean, so you're sort of already touching on this, but so can you give us a couple of examples of some good positions for labor so that women can kind of get a picture in their mind if they're listening right now and trying to figure out what that might kind of look like or be like?
Yeah, definitely. So let's see, during the first stage, you know, when you first go into labor and contractions are starting, staying active is important, but as well being sure to really balance getting rest, because you don't want to do so much that you're exhausted by the time, you know, it comes to really be pushing, and who knows how long that first stage is going to last. So, you know, some women can even take little naps in that first stage. So some basic things you can do during contractions and first stage is walking, which is really simple. You're using gravity, you're keeping your hips mobile. Getting on your hands and knees on the floor, and moving in any kind of way, circling the hips, what we call in yoga cat-cow position, which most people are familiar with, is, you know, rounding the back and then reversing it and kind of arching the back. And that movement you can do with the breath, but it's also really good to help a baby get into an optimal position for birth. So that's a really good one. Doing some gentle lunges. So you can have, you can do this on the ground with one knee down and one knee bent with the foot on the floor, or you can do a gentle lunge standing with a foot on the chair. And in a lunge, you can also do some hip movements forward and back, circles. This spiraling motion is a really organic movement, almost an instinctual movement that a lot of women will do during labor. And you can do that, like I said, on the hands and knees in a kneeling position, or you can do it sitting on a birthing ball. Those big exercise balls are great for labor. You can use them to sit on and rock your hips. You can kneel and then lean forward onto the birthing ball and rock your hips. You can also be, in doing this hip movement, you can be standing and leaning up against the wall or with your birth partner supporting you from behind or leaning forward onto your birth partner. Thinking like slow dancing is really great, kind of gentle, easy movement, really relaxing, also a really great way to be connected with your partner, whoever is supporting you in this in birth. So all that kind of hip motion is really good just to keep mobile, and also these upright positions, so you have the added benefit of gravity pulling your baby down. Those are great. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was like, that's a good time to ask about this whole thing, you know, with, you know, do you have any thoughts or can you explain a little bit about, like, why in a lot of hospitals, women are laying on their back and not, you know, not having the opportunity to use gravity to support, the birth?
Mm-hmm. So a main reason for that is it's easier for the person delivering the baby. Mm-hmm. And also another big reason is if a woman is receiving any kind of medication or needs to be hooked up to machines or an IV, there's less freedom to move around. And if you're on medication, you likely don't have the same control over your body. So those are, you know, three of the main considerations. So there are some ways of working with that. If you are on medication or you have to be lying on your back for any other reason, you can talk to your birth partner, talk to your care provider about, you know, these ideas of wanting to be more mobile and how you can incorporate some of these movements. Even lying on a bed, you can bring the knees into the chest, you can try to rock your hips forward and back. You can even possibly come into a side lying position if that's possible, lying on your side and then drawing one knee up towards your chest.
Okay.
If you can get into a side lying position, that's great, because the big problem with lying on the back is that it traps the coccyx or the tailbone into a forward position. And the most ideal position would be where your hips are mobile and your tailbone can move back. So, for example, any kind of a sitting position or a squatting position, the squat is physiologically the most efficient, ideal position for birth. I can go back to talking about that after, but just to conclude about the lying on the back. So, you know, having in mind that if that is the case, and sometimes that's unavoidable, you know, for any variety of reasons, but, you know, talking with your birthing partner and your child care provider, your care provider about these ideas and what you can do and how you can kind of work with what's available to you.
Right.
If it's a matter of, you know, being on pain medication, you still might be able to get onto your hands and knees depending on how much mobility you have, but you'd need a lot of the support around you. So, you know, you'd want everybody to be on board and, you know, be willing to help you and to give you the freedom to make those decisions and do as much as you possibly can to assist. Even a semi-reclined position would be a little bit better where you're kind of propped up, because then you have some gravity helping you.
Yeah. Right. Wow. I mean, you know, like, I know that there's so much more, even though this is in a certain way one of the more focused topics that we're addressing on this whole project, there's still, like, you know, medications and, you know, partners and, you know, you've touched upon a lot of other things that I know that there's a lot more to say about, but I think for now, you know, like, it's, I think that this is a good starting point, though, just so that women can start to think about, like, you know, like, there is more to this topic. This isn't maybe something that they were thinking about researching, and now, you know, you mentioned a couple of things like yoga and some movement and different kinds of birth prep classes, and so at least we can plant the seed that, you know, that hopefully people can, you know, go ahead and move forward with and see what does want to work with them, especially, you know, as you mentioned, it makes a difference if you're going to give birth in a hospital versus give birth at home, and, you know, you'll want to know, you'll want to know what you can do within the context that feels really comfortable to you and makes it as easy as possible. So, yeah, so this is all such good introductory information, and, you know, for people that want more information from you and want to learn more about your work, where can they find more info?
You can go to my website. It's called blissafterbirth.com. That's bliss, B-L-I-S-S, after birth. Mm-hmm. And I work with women in a lot of different modalities and virtually. Yeah, and there's so much to do. I definitely am a big supporter of yoga and really getting the body prepared in advance as much as mm-hmm. possible for mm-hmm. labor, because it really can help a lot. And learning how to utilize the breath is another thing my clients tell me has been really powerful, just getting that breath connection early on, connection with your baby, connection with your body is just so valuable once it's time to labor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so much.
Like you, yeah, so much. So much. This project was going to be really, like, contained and small when I first sort of dreamed it up, and it just keeps growing and growing, and, you know, with each call I can see that there's even more room for growth if I would allow it. But, but anyway, thank you. I mean, I think we'll just let that be the seed for now and wrap up, and so just really, I really appreciate you donating your time to, you know, just be here and talk and share and share your gifts. And you know, I know that everybody listening is appreciative as well. It's just, so thank you.
You're welcome. It's an honor to be here. And thank you, Mary, for putting this together. It's such a valuable resource for everyone in our community. So thank you for
You're welcome.
Thank you for doing that.
And, you know, everyone that's listening, remember if you got some good gems from Usha, to pay them forward and share the page with somebody and let them know what you liked, and let them know what they might like, what they might resonate with. You know, tell them which call to go straight to first. And they can sign up by going to auparent.com. And registering there, and they'll get all the access to the whole deal. So, so this is Mary Boyer, and going to sign off, reminding you that it absolutely changes the planet to support yourself and to support your baby during birth. And so, thank you for listening in that vein, and we will see you all on the next call. Thanks so much.